Debbie wants you open your prayer.
Sure.
Keep us away from doctrines of men.
Father, we do thank you this morning for your mercy and your grace and your truth that lives in us, Lord, so that we can identify spirits, Lord. Father, we just thank you for your life that you give us every day, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for this class and all the people who are looking for you greater and greater every day. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
That's all it takes, isn't it? You don't have to.
Oh, thank you.
You don't have to worry about any doctrines. You just keep seeking him more day by day. Mm-hmm. So cool. Well, anyway, I'm feeling a little bit. It's been a long, long time, so you just put up with me today, okay? So let's. I was wondering if somebody would read Psalm 97 in the Amplified Bible. I only know one here.
The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, and let the multitude of clouds
Hello, earth.
Be glad. Clouds and darkness are round about him as at Sinai. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about him. His lightnings illumine the world, the earth sees and trembles. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Let all those be put to shame who serve graven images, who boast in idols. Fall prostrate before him, all you gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced in relief. Because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are high above all the earth, and you are exalted far above all gods. O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints, the children of God. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the uncompromising, righteous, and strewn along their pathway, and joy for the upright in heart. The irrepressible joy which comes from consciousness of his favor and protection. Rejoice in the Lord, you consistently righteous, upright, and in right standing with God, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Mm. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Well, I looked into some of this morning when I woke up, and the Lord put on my heart a couple of things. I'm only going to try to probably get through, you know, the first half, let's say. But one thing that came to me was that in all of this psalm, every time they say Lord, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which is Jehovah. Mm-hmm. Except for one time, and that's the one in verse 5 where it says, the hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord Jehovah, at the presence of the Lord Adonai of the whole earth. Mm. That Adonai, or it's a word that looks kind of like Adonai, so I take it as that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
I mean, we all know who that is. The Lord. Those hills. And I was struck by... It even said in the Amplified, that the, okay, wait a minute now, yeah, in verse 2, clouds and thick darkness surround him as at Sinai. So at Sinai was where the law was given. And the law... And that mountain there where it says the habitation was the foundation, the is the same, I think, now. Let me make sure here. The hills melted like wax. That is like the hills at Sinai, the giving of the law. Mm-hmm. Melt like wax at presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord, at the Lord Jesus. And I was noticing when I was reading the psalm this morning that there was so much that struck me about the similarities between this psalm and Isaiah chapter 60. It says, clouds and darkness are around about him. And that darkness there is the same darkness that's in Isaiah chapter 60. It's a gross darkness. And that's the same as it talks about, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together shall come to thee. Thy sons come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. So,
part of my sermon today.
What's that?
I said that scripture you just read is part of my sermon.
Oh, is it really? Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord.
So, I know I'm jumping around a lot, but when it says clouds and darkness are around about him, it's around about him, it's not in him, you know. Because gross darkness does cover the earth as the time comes. But righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. And that righteousness comes from the root means cleansed and to justify. So justification and cleansing and judgment, which is a verdict. And that word verdict comes from a meaning to defend or deliver. Deliverance are the habitation which is the foundation of his throne. Clouds of darkness are all around him. Gross darkness covers the earth. But justification and cleansing and a verdict of defending, delivering are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. Well, who are his enemies? What are his enemies? The earth. I mean, the earth in all of us is to be burned up. It's so true. I mean, it says, and even in verse 1, it says, the earth will rejoice. You know, all the earth is going to rejoice when this happens. And it kind of reminded me as well of I don't know if it's a king, when he is a child, is no different than a servant under tutors and things until he becomes a full-grown man. And that's just the same as we are we have been and still are learning. You know, we are still under things and under cleansing and under trials and tribulations until we come to a full-grown man. Somebody else say something.
I wanted to, where you read in Isaiah 60, and you read your fourth verse. On the fifth verse, it said, then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and tremble with joy at the glorious deliverance, and be enlarged because the abundant wealth of the Dead Sea shall be turned to you, and unto you shall the nations come with their treasures. And I was just seeing that as us, you know, the body.
Well, and then too, there's the whole thing of Isaiah 61, you know, where we're always hearing these words about the Lord will judge the earth and all of that. Well, how is he going to judge? You know, how is the Lord going to get revenge? Who wants to read it or talk about it?
Well, I can if you want.
Sure.
He's gonna judge the earth with mercy and forgiveness and
Hallelujah.
Restoration. And
Hallelujah.
He's gonna give them the oil of joy for mourning and the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Mm-hmm. That's what he's gonna do. I mean, you know, and you know, the Lord dealt with me one time about that, and you know, I asked the Lord, how are you going to get your vengeance, you know? And he said, read the next line, by comforting all that mourn, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's where we forget. God said, my ways are not your ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how far my ways are above your ways. And that's why even when Jesus was told, when the disciples said to him, shall we call down fire from heaven, you know, one time to consume them, you know, basically is what he was saying, what they were saying. Mm-hmm. He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. But, you know, he's going to call down fire, but it's going to be to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble in people's lives, not to utterly destroy people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to destroy the wickedness and everything that's not of him in our lives, you know.
Is he going to judge the earth through people?
Yes.
I think he's judging the earth today through people.
Yeah. Well, you know, it says in the scriptures, know ye not that the saints will judge the world. But judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. Yes, it's going to begin with you. Mm-hmm. And what he's doing in you is setting things right. And setting things in order. That's what judgment is really for. It's not to punish. Mm-hmm. It's to set things in order, in a proper order. You know, when we come to realize that the judgment of man, you know, is the judgment that man does out there is different. Mm-hmm. We know it shows the Lady Justice with blindfolds on and balances, you know. Well, God don't have no blindfolds on. He sees everything just for what it is, but he also sees it for what he's called it to be, mm-hmm. you know.
And I believe that the balances are this too, the judgment that's from below. This is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. You're not going to get mercy from the world. You're going to get judgment of good and evil, mm-hmm. which is just exactly what God's word is. Let's stop judging.
Yeah.
Let's stop making that judgment. Let's just give mercy.
You know, love an eye for an eye. And, you know,
yes.
No. You know, I was thinking of that very verse myself this morning, Oscar and uh-huh. Kathy. And I think what the Lord's doing in the church right now is he's bringing us into a now perspective mm-hmm. instead of in the sweet by and by. And when I read that verse actually a couple of days ago, Isaiah, he said, arise and shine for thy light has come. Mm-hmm. Isaiah, he said, arise and shine for your light is come. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He didn't say it's coming. Mm-hmm. He said it is come. And I think what Elijah was seeing, I think we all agree, he was seeing the coming of Christ. That's what he was seeing. The light didn't really come in the Old Testament. Yeah. Jesus is the light of the world. And I think Isaiah was looking down through the portals of time, being the prophet that he was, and he saw that when that light came, that the people would have the light right then and there. Because he said, arise and shine, for thy or your light is come. Mm-hmm. It is come. I think the problem that we have in the earth today is God wants to judge a people in righteousness through his people. But his people see judgment all distorted. They see judgments coming when Jesus comes down through the clouds. They're not aware that they are the clouds. They're still dark clouds that are surrounding the Lord, okay, because they're still in darkness. But it's because of, I think, all the religion we've been fed about the second or the next coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming, okay? Free beer tomorrow, as we always used to say in the secular world, you know, free beer tomorrow. Well, when tomorrow got there, it was free beer tomorrow. And it's the same way with the Lord. The Lord is coming, you know, and we all die and go by way of the grave, then to see the Lord or to enter into God's kingdom. And Isaiah was saying that, I was meditating on this very verse this morning, actually for the past week, really. But he said, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Well, where is God rising? He's rising up in a people. Yeah. So Isaiah is talking to our generation. Actually, he was talking to the people 2,000 years ago. You know, when John went forth, the other prophet, and he said, the light of the world is here. Praise God, you know. And Isaiah said, for your light is come. Mm-hmm. And the glory is now rising in a people. Mm-hmm. But it's just, the church just keeps saying salvation as, you know, they got their little box of I'm saved, out, I've escaped hell, I'm on my way to heaven. And then religion has just gobbled up the rest of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think that there's a people like us in this hour that are starting to break forth in the realm of now, understanding that this is not to be delayed, okay? That it's already taken pass, that the kingdom of God is within us, okay? And we're the administrators of that kingdom. And as we allow that to rise within us, and that was another thing Isaiah said. He said, arise. You. He didn't say, Jesus, arise. He said, arise and shine, for your light is come. You got it. Now arise in it. So there's something, and this is something the Lord's really been dealing with me on the last couple of weeks, there really is something we have to do. And it seems like religion always puts everything off, and we have this sovereignty thing where, well, God's going to do it. I mean, he's sovereign. Amen? Anything that happens is God. He's sovereign. Don't worry about it. But I hear the Lord saying, son, you got to arise. You got to come to me. You got to fellowship with me. You got to let me arise in you. And then you'll be able to judge righteously. Then you'll understand why all these things are happening in the planet Earth instead of saying, well, he's sovereign. And that's the greatest way in the world to just pass the buck off on everything. Is God sovereign? Yes, he is sovereign. But I think there's still a depth of understanding and truth that we need to come to about the sovereignty of God. Because when some baby gets shot and killed or stabbed, well, God's sovereign. No. I'm sorry. There's a greater depth of understanding we need to see before we just put everything off on God. But I don't want to get off on that tangent, but arise and shine.
No, keep going.
Arise and shine. Your light has come.
I see a real simplicity in the truth of when we finally get it. There's kind of a relaxation that takes place in it's been done. We do have to walk in it.
We do.
And stop
judging. Something we have to do.
And stop everything.
Yeah. You know,
it's a two-part process. God's going to do it, but we have to do our part on it too.
Okay. The question is, then, how do we arise?
Yeah.
Because he said, arise and shine. If there's no arising, then there's no shining.
Well, maybe I'll deal with that in my sermon today.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'll tell you how to rise. Okay, I'll tell you what you have to do.
All right, good.
Okay. If you hear it and you want to hear it, you'll hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I've been meditating on that scripture too all week long, Oscar. So I don't want to.
No, that's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
Praise the Lord.
That's good. I've got some of those scriptures right in my scriptures, but. Well, I don't want to get into my sermon here because, you know, I'll wait until I'm going to share the sermon.
Somebody jump in because I'm kind of...
But, you know, the thing about it is when you deal with the sovereignty of God, what you have to realize is that, you know, we don't understand. We only see what's happening right in front of us at this point.
Right.
So when a little child is killed or something is done terrible to a little child or something, you stand back and you think, oh, that's awful. And the first thought that comes to your natural mind is, God, how in the world could you let this happen? And people say that all the time when something happens. But you don't realize that if that is the finality of that child, then that's a horrible, horrible thing. But if it's not the finality of that child, if that child was released right into God's presence, then is it as horrible? You know, and think about when Jesus was born. Herod went through and killed all the babies that were that age. You know, that was probably literally, hundreds or thousands or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's even a scripture that said where Rachel was weeping for her children, which were not, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, and if that's where we, I think we lose it when we even talk about death at times. If death is the end of everything, then yes, somebody who didn't come to a knowledge of the Lord and all that, it's a horrible thing that they mm-hmm. did. But if it's not the finality, if they've stepped over into eternity by spirit, you know, then maybe it's not as bad as we think it is, you know.
But what's going to stop the killing, the raping, the drug dealing? It's going to be the power of God operating through a people.
True.
And I'm starting to feel that the church has a responsibility in this hour to arise. And as a result of not us rising, a lot of these tragedies and war and everything, because he said when a people arises, then the nations and kings are going to come to you, okay? Because they're going to see the light, okay? And I think that this people that God is raising up, they are the antidote to what's going on in the darkness. So in a sense, I think the church needs to start feeling a responsibility that a lot of these kids that are being slain and a lot of these what's going on in Chicago and in these black neighborhoods, killing and shooting and drug dealing, the church is going to have to start arising and letting that light, letting that glory shine. Because when it starts going forth, it's going to start touching. It's going to start touching the families first, my wife and my children, and it's going to start touching the church, the city, the nations, the world, and God knows where he's going to go to from the world, because the plan even, because the increase of his government, he said there's no end to it. So not only is he going to redeem the entire earth, but then he's going to go out into the innermost parts of whatever that he's created. You know, it goes even beyond that, I believe. But I don't know, I'm just starting to feel a responsibility that the Lord is saying, I've given the earth to man. Okay? And you have the power and the authority. I have given you the power and the authority to go in my name. And I think the Lord's wanting a people to rise so they can start displaying the glory and the love and the power of God. People getting healed of cancer, getting children getting up out of wheelchairs. Hello, Bradley. But children getting up out of wheelchairs. And I think, I really feel in my heart, it's burning in my bones that the Lord is saying, arise and set creation free. The thunder, I mean, God was talking to me recently about the earthquakes and thunder and stuff like that. He says, all the earthquake is it's just the earth in harmony with what's going on in the hearts of my children that are trying to arise up into the heavenly realms.
But we are trying.
Yeah.
But how do you do it?
Yeah. See, that's what you want
to
tell
us.
I'm going to tell you. That's what I'm saying. How do you do it? I'm going to tell you what I feel like. I feel like the Lord gave me in his scriptures how to do it. And it's there all. It's been there all the time. And you can see it all the time. It's very simple.
Well, we can't do it in ourselves, that's
no,
for sure.
No.
But see, you can't, that's the thing. You know, I remember when Mark was a little boy, he used to always say, because Mark had real little feet. He still has little feet. You know, he's 6'1", but he's got little feet, and that's unusual. He doesn't have a very big foot. You know, usually when you're tall, you got he's got real big hands, too, but he's got little feet. And you know, he used to say, Mom, he'd say, you think I'm going to be tall? You know, and she'd say, well, pray real hard, Mark, pray real hard, you know. And he did. He'd pray to be tall. And, you know, he got tall. He got taller than me. He's taller than I am. But he still has little feet. Well, you know, how many times have you ever seen anybody when they look at a dog? Mm-hmm. Look at a dog's feet, and you can almost tell how big that dog's going to be. If he's got big feet, he's going to be a big dog. You know, he's got little bitty feet.
Children too.
Yeah, and that happens. That happens a lot with kids too. You see, but the thing about it is, Mark could try it as hard as he wanted to be tall. That ain't going to make him tall. And you can try as hard as you want to try to make the things of God come out in you, and then that's works. He has to work this stuff out. There's something you have to do, but he has to. He's the one, you know. One, it's like that scripture says, you know, one plants, another waters, but who gives the increase? God. And it still comes back to God giving the increase. And I believe we are going to rise and shine, and it's going to happen. But it's going to happen in the fullness of time of when God brings us to that revelation, to that full revelation of Him. And you know, and I believe what's happening to you, Jim, is that you're desiring to see it happen. And that's a good thing, because that means God's really dealing with your heart. And He's dealing with a lot of people's hearts about desiring to see things happen. You know, just like in the Old Testament, they were desiring to see the Messiah come. Mm-hmm. But guess what? He didn't come like they thought He was going to come. And when He came, the biggest majority of them didn't even recognize Him, you know, because it didn't fit their criteria of what they thought.
That's, you know, another thing, of course, and correcting me too, the past month is about, every time I read that word certain, it jumps off the page at me. Uh-huh. There was a certain man at a certain place, at a certain time.
Right.
And it's like the Lord is saying, you are the man that's at that certain place, at that certain time, right now.
Yeah.
You are the man.
Well, and when God tells you right now, then as the fullness of time comes in you, it'll be right now.
Right.
You know, and
but we need to
is
be
that
stirred.
Today? Is
we
that tomorrow?
Stirred,
is that
we need to hear that.
3 weeks
we need to
from
be
now?
Stirred.
No, no, I'm right. I understand what you're
instead
saying.
Instead of one that's going to one day down the road and, you know.
But you know, Jesus came in the fullness of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, John the Baptist came in the fullness of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and usually if you read in Scripture, it'll say, in the full, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about the fullness of time, you know, and when it was the time for it to happen, you know. And we know that that Isaiah prophesied how many years before, I can't think of his name right now, Cyrus came forth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
400 years or 300 years before Cyrus ever came forth, he called him by name. But you would think because he called him by name, and because God gave him that word, it was the fullness of time. But it was the fullness of time for what Isaiah was supposed to do. But it wasn't the fullness of time for Cyrus to come forth yet. And
well, let me ask you a question, though. Are you seeing a new day dawning right now?
I feel, you know, I'll put it to you like this. I feel like that God is moving in His people.
Mm-hmm.
We're growing up into whatever He desires us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm not trying to rush it, and I'm not trying to slow it down. I'm just trying to relax and let Him do it, you know, as He does it, you know. Now, there is some things, like I say, and you're going to say, well, man, I knew that scripture. I've heard that scripture a thousand times when I read you some of the scriptures, you know, that I felt like He had me put together, you know. But, you know, and it sounds simple, and everything that's simple in God is not simple for you to do it.
No, it's got to be quick.
Everything that's really simple in God is it just about kills you to do it. You know, it kills your old man and your old nature to do it, usually.
But is God moving now, some like in things that are happening, especially with the Catholic religion?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that all those kingdoms are going to start something.
He's shaking them.
Yeah, he's even shaking them.
Because they're going to lose money, billions of dollars because of this thing with the priest and the, you know, the young kids.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you know, like I say, I'll share some of these things in my sermon. If you hear them, fine. If you don't, that's okay too. You know, whatever. But I mean, some of those scriptures, a lot of these scriptures you guys are talking about, I'll be hitting on them a little bit here. And some of them I'll go into a little more depth than what we're going into them now. Some of them, you know, maybe not. But, you know, I was just thinking, you know, I was thinking about years ago, the Lord started dealing with me about Zechariah. And in Zechariah, he was dealing with me one time about the fifth chapter of Zechariah. And it says here, it says, then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I said, I see a flying roll. The length there is 20 cubits, and the breadth there is 10 cubits. Well, 20 is the number for redemption.
Mm-hmm.
10 is the number for law and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, this is what, to a certain extent, I'm not trying to put what you're saying in the realm of the law, but you're saying we have a responsibility to rise and shine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, let's go on down here and see what he says. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goes forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stilleth shall be cut off, and he that is on his side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on the side according to it. I will bring forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief and the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst. And he goes on and he starts talking about, he saw two women and they had the wings of a stork. Well, what does a stork say to you? What does it do?
Babies.
Bring forth babies. Mm-hmm. And what is the church out there always wanting to do?
Mm-hmm.
Bring forth a bunch of babies. What is the Baptist church always wanting to do? Let's
Amen.
Get some more babies. Let's don't grow them up. Let's keep them babies though. Let's keep them, let's don't tell them the deeper truths. But see, the thing about it is that we have to realize that a lot of the things that we desire to happen, and because you desire for it to happen, that's a wonderful thing, and it's going to happen. God's putting that desire in you, but you have to have the patience to wait until he brings it forth, because he's going to bring it forth in you. You know, I know when God got a hold of me, I had to go down to, and you, same with you, you had an appointed time, didn't you?
Sure.
You was in...
Sure.
Hotel room and
certain place, certain man,
yeah,
certain time.
There was a time,
and
the time's
always
coming.
It's always grace.
The
no
time's,
question about
but
that.
But the time's coming, you know.
Yeah.
But you still had you couldn't have made that happen sooner than that, no matter what you tried to do.
I agree.
You know, and
saved
that's
by grace.
And that's the only thing about sometimes when we want desire for something to happen, we can't really make it happen other than yielding ourselves to whatever God's doing
that's
in
it.
Our lives. That's, what
it
really amounts out to. And that's simple, and I'm getting into part of my sermon there. That's simple, but that's where it really, that's the only thing we can do. That's our part of it.
That's what
because
I'm
if we go further than that, it starts being works, you know. Well, bless God, I'll grab the bull by the horn and I'll get out there and I'll change that whole neighborhood, you know, out there. Well, if God's telling you to do that, you go do that. If he's not, you're probably going to get your brain blowed out somewhere down there or something like that. But if he's telling you to do it, you know. And it really comes down to the simplicity of just doing what God's telling you to do today, if you'll hear his voice. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. And that's all you can really do, you know.
Now and, faith is the substance of things.
Yeah.
Now.
Not hope
tomorrow.
For
yeah.
things not seen.
Right.
Yeah.
I find in my life
yeah.
that the testing, it you know, sometimes I can only, let me just say this.
Yeah.
You guys, you talk about lofty things. I talk about trying to keep my mouth shut sometimes, you know.
Well, and that's a lofty thing for you. I mean, it's a lofty
yes.
thing for all of us to keep our mouth shut.
Yeah. And yet I don't, you know, and yet I tried, I am tried, and I fail.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and I say to God all the time, God, give me another chance, put me in front of somebody, let me just keep my mouth, you know, let me say loving, kind things when I'm thinking unloving, unkind things, or, you know, just something, help me, show me that I'm making some headway, and every time that happens and I fail, it gets me into, oh my God, you've screwed up again, you know, and even though, yes, I know it's going to happen, you know, I still am under condemnation sometimes because I'm not making it happen.
Well, I preached a sermon a few weeks back about words matter.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know if you were here or not. I don't think you were here. The words do matter because your words are powerful. And
yes.
the things that you say are, you speak them into existence, you know. And, but even bridling your tongue, you can't bridle your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
It takes God to bridle you, the Holy Spirit to bridle your tongue.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think a lot of times, a lot of the things that we go through are really simple, you know, and they sound simple when you hear the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But they're extremely hard to do.
Yes.
I mean, because...
Simple but not easy.
Simple but not easy, and that's right. And that's really the way the things of the Lord are. They're tremendously simple. It's simple to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's not hard to do. But then to walk out in it and stay in it and believe it every day and every moment of every day, that's where it gets hard, you know. But, you know.
Well, we talk about the simplicity of the Lord all the time.
Right.
And the thing about it is, the reason it's so hard is because we are constantly judging ourselves,
right,
about what we're doing with our own lives.
Or comparing ourselves to somebody else.
Comparing ourselves to somebody else.
Yeah.
And as long as we continue to constantly judge ourselves, we're not going to find the simple stuff.
Well, I think that truly living out of the law of eating from the tree of life instead of the tree of good and evil is the only thing that's ever going to bridle my tongue. You know, because in speaking unkind words, I'm by definition judging a person's behavior as less than perfect, you know?
Kay, I've been dealing with some of that myself, and we talk about grace being the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. That's what it is. I mean, you know, you have to let the Lord deal not just with your mouth, but in your heart.
Mm-hmm. It's got to start.
Yeah. These things, when they come out of your mouth, they're coming from your heart. And I just feel like, you know, you got to let the Lord work in here, and then it will be reflected in your life. And when you were talking, Oscar, about, you know, timing, it's like things will happen in God's time. It's like to everything there's a purpose and a time for every, you know, everything to happen in God's timing, yes. And if we try to rush it or do it in the wrong time, it's not going to be...
We mess it up.
Yes.
Usually what happens.
Yes.
If we try
because
to...
we think we know what he's trying to accomplish.
Exactly.
Or we're judging someone else's behavior from the tree of good and evil.
Well, and Jim's talking,
ourselves too.
You know, we all feel like, I don't know if we all do, but I do too, Jim, that there's something going on in the earth.
Right.
And I know that there are people who are coming against evil. And I know that they think that the Lord, the light of the Lord has risen up in them. And they're coming against evil at the same time they're trying to let Christ arise, you know. So I don't know what the answer is. I'm anxious to hear what you got to say.
Well, I hope it's going to be very simple, and you're going to have heard it 1,000 times and read it 1,000 times because it's just what the Word says, you know.
You know what's helped me really in the past 4 years, really helped me, is to get my eyes totally off of Jim Wilson,
right,
totally off of what's coming out of my mouth. Totally off of the evil, wicked, unclean thoughts that I have. Totally off of all that. And focus totally on Him. When I go back and pray, and all of a sudden the mind starts saying, well, you know what you did? I don't go, oh, Lord, gee, I'm sorry that I said that to Sister Kathy. I didn't mean to wound. I just look to Him. I just put it all at His feet. All of it. And I just look to Him.
I love that one thing that you said one time, not too long ago, about, you know, Lord, you made me that way. As much as...
Yeah, he made me that way.
Hmm?
He made me in His image, His likeness. He didn't make me in that, some of those words that come out of my mouth.
We were dropped.
Yeah. We were down into
this,
that realm.
Yeah.
Into
yeah.
this realm.
And He did
not
it.
Willingly.
But we're not there anymore.
No.
But we're not there anymore.
Some of us
and we need to get our eyes off of that. Realm.
That realm.
When that naughty, crappy stuff comes out of our mouth,
that's right.
I just carry it to the Lord and I say, Lord, I know that you're changing every aspect of my life as I focus on you and I become more one with you, as I come into union with you. And all of a sudden, you know, as you live your life as me, through me, and all of a sudden my life starts changing. Every time I get off my financial problems, as soon as those financial problems come in at 3 o'clock in the morning, I get it right off. Because the Lord says, you know you don't have any solutions. Your worrying is not going to add one cubit. It's not going to pay one bill. Mm-hmm. Focus on me. So whenever the negative stream starts coming in, the condemnation, the things I said that I shouldn't have said, I offended, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that if I don't offend somebody, that, you know, in the process, the Lord may say, I want you to go and apologize to that brother. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not trying to avoid all that. Mm-hmm. But I just don't try and think about me anymore at all, because it's no longer I.
Well, and if you come to the realization...
And that's the simplicity I think of it. And I think it is quite simple. I think we're making it very difficult.
When you come to the realization that who God's really trying to change, as far as you're concerned, he's not trying to change the world right now. He's trying to change you.
Yeah, well...
You know, he's working on you. And when he's done working on us, then... He will be able to use us to work on other people.
Yeah, he's trying to bring forth a new creation man in us. He's not trying to change old Adam into some kind of perfection.
I mean,
Adam's dead. Yes. Yeah. He's trying to bring forth a new life in us. He's trying to bring forth a new creation in me. And that's what I got to focus on. I got to focus on that new creation in me. Yeah. And he is that new creation. He is that life. And but the more I focus on him...
As he changes us, that changes the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
God has shown me many things I went through. Because he started dealing with me when I was 12. I got saved when I was 24. Uh-huh. But there's a lot of things I desired in which he creates a hunger in you. But he kept telling me, seek ye first the kingdom, and all of these things shall be added to you. And I found that, and am finding it to be so. Even the things when I see things in myself that he has shown light on that is displeasing to him, or you know that, and things, actions I've had or whatever, I look to him, and he just puts me in a place of just drawing from him and spending time in his presence and you just seeking him and looking to him.
Yeah, in every aspect of your life. It's even like finances. The Lord says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom, which is, he is the kingdom, to come in under his lordship. And he says all these things will be added. But the reason why all the things start getting added is because as you seek him, he starts adding wisdom and knowledge and understanding to you to take care of the business, to take care of relationships with people.
Pardon my sermon.
It isn't that he's going to, you know, he's going to pay your bills, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. But it comes through focusing on him, you start receiving his life, which is wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And then you just start ordering your life, letting him live his life through you. And all the other things, they do take care of themselves. Because it's his wisdom and knowledge and understanding that's working through you. Most of our brothers and sisters today, and I myself included, there was a time where I thought, well, I'll focus on the Lord because he's going to pay my bills. Because he said all these things will be added to you. Well, that's kind of a lower level understanding of really what the Lord's saying. But as we come more into Christ, into his life, taking on his life, our life, everything out here just starts changing, because everything in here starts changing. Everything out there starts changing. But it's all focusing on him. Come as a child. Keep it simple. Focus on me. Don't focus on yourself. Don't worry about what you said. You'll go crazy. Focus on me. Get quiet.
What's
focus
wrong
on
with me? I've gone crazy.
Thank you,
Lord, for telling me what I... It's so true. It will cause that. Well, let's close, because it's almost 10 till. Brenda?
Father, we so thank you, Lord. We just thank you for the sharing and the fellowship and you in our very midst as we are speaking of you, Lord. We know, Father, that you are revealing yourself even greater in each one of us and to us and through us, oh God. Father, we look forward to this following service and as we worship and as the word comes forth, Father, give us ears to hear, heart to receive, Father. Have your way. And be glorified, Father, in all things, my God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.